مالك يوم الدين.
When we talk about the Jannah or the Jahannam, it's not necessarily something external to me that I am going to go into the Jannah or going into the Jahannam. Rather, if the Jannah and Jahannam are here and now, right now, it's not necessarily the case that they are external to me. The Jannah is something that I am going to receive as a result of my good deeds. That's how we understand it. The Jahannam is something that I'm going to receive as a result of my bad deeds. Now what happens is, because we're limited to the constraints of this world, sometimes we apply the concepts that we have in this world to the concepts of the hereafter, and that makes us slightly confused. Or we apply things that are not applicable to a higher realm. So here, for example, if I want to invest in something, I'll say I'm investing in this particular institute or project or bank or whatever, and then after a period of time, I will get the fruits or the return on that investment. If I do good to somebody, then I think in my mind, inshallah, in the future, he will do something good for me as well. So because we are limited by time in this world, we have this concept of me doing something and then the consequence coming after a bit of time. However, we can't necessarily apply this same concept of a delay in time to those things that are to do with the hereafter. What do I mean? What I mean is that the actions that we perform, if I drink a glass of water, I've finished drinking it, the action is finished. If I hit somebody, if I make somebody happy, I give a gift, the action disappears in this world. However, what we are told is that it is all recorded in that kitab, the kitab that Allah has. Everything is going to be written in that kitab and the hisab is going to be taken afterwards. But where is that kitab? That kitab is within my own existence. In other words, every action that I'm doing, it's actually having an impact on me right now. Any good that I'm doing, my soul is benefiting from the goodness of that action, and my soul itself is transforming into a better state. That action itself, when we see in the verses of the Quran, إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, it doesn't say that you are going to be rewarded in return for what you used to do, or you're going to be compensated in return or in exchange. Where we, for example, take a receipt to the bank and say, look, this voucher entitles me to 100,000 tawab. I give the voucher in return, I get the 100,000 tawab. In actual fact, the verse is telling me that my reward and my punishment is the action itself. The action itself is something that has permanence. It doesn't stay with me in this world, but in the next realm, it has some everlasting permanence, and that is going to be the consequence or the reward or the punishment that I get. So if we take a look at this next verse, we see an example of this. It says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Indeed, those who consume the property of the orphans wrongfully, they only eat fire in their bellies. Now, is this a case of I am going to take and usurp the wealth of these orphans, and then in the hereafter, Allah is going to look in the book and He's going to say, oh, you did this bad deed, in return you're going to get this fire in your belly. No, the verse is telling me right now that by doing this, there is a consequence that is happening to my reality, to my soul, which I'm not able to see because it is to do with something that is beyond this realm. If I'm able to access that realm, then I would be able to see it. And we have plenty of hadith that talk about this, how people are able to access the reality. And this is something that, you know, when we talk about the isma of the ma'sumin, that why is it that they didn't sin? Some of their explanations are from this angle, to say that we could see the reality of that action and it was so filthy and so disgusting that we wouldn't even go near it, because they have access to that realm. Other verses of the Quran, for example, we know backbiting is equated to eating the flesh of your dead brother. Now, it's not just an analogy. This is the actual reality of what is going on in that realm. Now, let's come back to the verse that we're on. If we look here at this next verse, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Do you not know that to Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth? Allah is telling us here, right now, Allah is in control. The mulk is belonging to Him. But on that day, that milkiyah, that authority is going to become manifest for us on the day of judgment. Why will it become manifest for us? Because right now we have these veils that are to do with our sins, the veils because we're distracted, we're not concentrating and putting enough effort into working on ourselves and removing these distractions and these sins, and that's preventing us from seeing. Otherwise, we would be able to see it. So Allah says to us, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. You were certainly heedless of this. Now we have removed your veil. So today, your vision is sharp.